Side 3.
If you see the world as very solid and factual and intellectual and logical, then there isn't any logical explanation as to how you may be healed overnight, or any logical explanation as to how you may receive a vast sum of money tomorrow without effort. But when you look at it as energy and you understand the laws of attraction, you are basically pulling to you the results that you need through a dimension that is not solid. If you see your body as solid and see the circumstances around you as solid, it somewhat limits your ability to believe in it happening. And so I felt it was an important point to begin to establish this idea of you are consciousness. You can create through the power of your thought. If your life force and your strength is strong, you can more or less materialize things instantaneously. If it is not so strong, it'll take time, but you're thinking in terms of something coming towards you in a sea of energy rather than through the fragmented and more obscure logical process where often there isn't a logical explanation as to how things actually work. Part, I think, of your energy as you begin to develop into this miracle maker is that you should consider detaching somewhat from the social, ethnic, tribal energy that we all come from. We were all born somewhere. We were all born a part of one tribe or another. The tribe may now have expanded to 50 million people, but it's still a tribe. It's a mindset. It's a socio-economic unit. And as you pull out of that a little bit, it allows you the freedom to oscillate faster, to vibrate faster. If you're very sucked into the old tribal ways, then what happens is you take on the identity of the tribe rather than an identity of yourself. So let's say, for example, you're Irish. You can love Ireland and you can read the Irish poets and you can recall the times that you had in Limerick and Tipperary or wherever it is that you came from. But within your Irishness, you have to bring that back inside of yourself and say, I am an individual. The fact that I was born in Ireland was a factor of my evolution. But first, I'm an individual. Secondly, I'm an Irishman. And as you begin to detach one pace or one step away from the tribal energy, then again you begin to win back your power. You begin to win back that power that will create the miracles for you. Throughout the whole of time and throughout the history of man's struggle within himself, there have been initiates, there have been great beings that have managed to go beyond the limitations of the earth plane. And the way they did it was they won the battle of the mind. There's a part of you that will hold on to the negativity that fragmented the ego, the belief in limitation, and there's a part of you that is expansive and loving and joyous and heading out. And those two parts will always be in contention with each other. At the beginning, perhaps, the negative part or the personality part may be much, much stronger than the infinite, positive, expansive part of you. And the name of the game is to begin to overwhelm the negativity with positivity. You've heard me talk, perhaps, in the past about being careful with your vocabulary, being careful with the way that you present yourself. If you're going to come out of positivity, you have to come out of it all of the time. You have to establish that energy inside of you, an energy of hope, one of transcendence, one of serving humanity without infringing upon them. And then as you begin to do that, the inner mind that it retains so much of that negativity, that darkness, it begins to back away. But you have to remember that you've been on the earth plane a certain amount of years, and that inner mind is not going to let go just because you say, oi, get out of here. It has dominated. The inner mind, the negativity of the inner mind, it has control of your life, or it has had control of your life. Often it'll make you sick. It'll make your body sick just to control you. It'll cause difficulty just to be able to feel that it is in control. As you begin to become more infinite, the ego or the dark part of the mind begins to back off, and you may have a feeling that you're dying. And of course, that is a natural feeling on the path, and it isn't your physical death that you're looking at. What you're looking at is that the personality is giving ground to the infinity, and so the personality will have a feeling of it's losing importance or dying. as you push out as a miracle maker and as you begin to get this action plan going, you have to establish in your feelings the idea that, one, you are worthy, two, you can receive. So often in our society, we put an emphasis on giving, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. But you have to understand, for every giver, there has to be a receiver. When you feel comfortable in receiving, when a person offers you something, take it. It doesn't matter whether they offer you a polyester lame shirt with a nude on the front that sort of moves when you move. You take it. You say thank you, and you take it. And it doesn't matter if you don't want it. Because sure enough, if it becomes a part of your possessions in that kind of energy, then somebody will come along to you, and they'll say, listen, I'm going to the party, and I need a polyester shirt with a nude on the front that moves when I move. And you'll say, well, I've just got the perfect one. Begin to practice accepting. When you see money in the street, pick it up, even if it's only a penny or a cent or whatever. Pick that thing up. When somebody offers you something, take it. When they offer to help you, accept it. When they offer to heal you, let them heal you. When they offer to give you money, accept their money. And as you begin to open to receiving, then that energy can come to you. Look at nature. It doesn't have a problem receiving. The animals don't sit there and think, gosh, I better give rather than receiving. They're flowing naturally and simply through the forest, and they receive. And they receive nurturement for one kind or another, food and water and whatever they need to survive. And so I want you to center upon that. I want you to center on being a person that is ready to receive. And once you are comfortable with receiving, then the quality of your giving is enhanced because you're bigger. You're a wider, more expansive person. So often you'll get people that center upon giving, and they give little bits, and always with considerations and limitations and conditions. Imagine when you get to the point when you can just give freely. You're radiating this sunshine from your heart, and that can only come if you have trained yourself to receive. And so I want you to watch as you go through next week and the week after. I want you to watch how well you receive. Are you an expert in receiving? Have you graduated from the university of receiving? Because, interestingly enough, that is the key to being able to become expansive. You may remember in the book I said that you are on your own. And that's true. The divinity inside of you comes to the physical plane for your evolution. If you concentrate on that power inside of you, the miracle maker, this limitless energy, then what happens is you become stronger. All of the philosophies and most of the major religions teach that we're not supposed to concentrate upon ourselves. We're supposed to concentrate on, first of all, a God outside of ourselves, and secondarily, on people in the society that we're supposed to assist or aid in some way. The philosophy that I teach is one where you turn and you face yourself, understanding that if you become strong, then you have a gift that you can take to society. So many people I meet as I travel and do seminars in the Pacific and all over the world, they want to serve humanity, they want to give, and yet they don't really have any true power with which to give. They want to assist the world to go beyond poverty, but they don't have any money themselves. They want to heal the world, but their body's sick. And so as you're looking at that, you understand that you're on your own. The fact that you may be with a wife or a husband and have children and loved ones and business associates and associations of one kind, all of that is to reflect you back to yourself. That is its function, and that's the function of interpersonal relationships. They are there so you learn about yourself. And in fact, you are an individual evolving through the physical plane, and that individuality is sacrosanct, and you have to make it important. And I don't mean it in the ego sense of the word, but you remember that you are on your own. You come in as an individual, and you go out as an individual. You'll remember in the book also I said that universal law has no way of knowing what it is you want. That sometimes is confusing for people because they think in terms of God being all-knowing. And the way that I would like to explain it to you for your consideration is this. Whereas the God force or the life force is in all things, which is true, it does not have a concentration minute by minute on each individual part. It would be the same as if you owned or were president of a huge multinational corporation. You may know that you have a branch in Nigeria. But you don't know at 9 a.m. on Tuesday whether the secretary is off sick or not, or whether the electricity has blown a fuse and the telex isn't working, or whatever it may be. You're not intimately, emotionally involved in the day-by-day, hour-by-hour events in your office in Nigeria. All you're interested in is the information that flows into your head office, and that's how you're controlling the situation, or that is how you're allowing this corporation to evolve. The life force, being in all things, not having an opinion, being impartial, is not involved in knowing what you want or having a decision. It is not as if God says, for you to be rich is good, for you to be poor is bad. God doesn't say, we want you to be healthy, and it doesn't say, it's bad to be sick. It doesn't have an opinion. And if you think about it, that idea sets you free. Because once it doesn't have an opinion, it can reflect back to you exactly what you are with an uninterrupted and totally pure reflection. You don't want a reflection coming back to you that has somebody's opinion in it, because you'd be heading off to the beach and the opinion might say, go to the concert, if you know what I mean. And so when you understand that, you have to be very clear about what it is you want and what you put into the universal law. As you look at your miracle action plan, you can't be wishy-washy. If you just put in an affirmation that says, I want more money, what does that mean? If you walk over 10 cents in the street, you've got more money. So that's it. That's the energy of that idea gone. So you're looking at being specific and yet leaving it open enough so that it can come from anywhere. So you would say, I would like to increase my abundance tenfold in the next 6 months. You're giving yourself time. It's a specific idea. And what you're saying is, it's not coming from here and from there and from over there. I'm ready to increase my abundance tenfold in the next 6 months, and I will take it from anywhere because I already have inside of me this feeling that I'm honorable and that it's good and it's holy and it's just for me to receive. And so, as you put specific ideas into the universal law, it gives you specific results. Often people will have concepts, goals, and ideas that are so wishy-washy that they can't even explain it to another human individual, let alone explain it to a light, to a God force that reflects exactly back to them where they're at. If you're in confusion, if you have a certain amount of indecision about what your heroic life's goal is or what your mission in life is, then you need to begin to get back inside of yourself and get clear. And sometimes that may take months, but that's okay. You have plenty of time. And as you uncomplicate your life, and you move towards simplicity, up from within you naturally comes, hey, I want to be a violinist. Hey, what I really want to do is go and live on a farm in North Africa or whatever it might be. The key to that miracle-making process is balance. Without balance, you really don't have a chance, because what you're trying to do is this. You're trying to use the infinity or the light in all things to carry to you the result that you want. And because the light comes out of purity and balance, it can only be congruent with you if you are balanced. And balanced means a balanced physical situation. You don't have to heal everything going on in your body, but at least it has to be balanced, and you have to love yourself by caring for your physical body, working on it, being aware when things go wrong, being aware of putting in the correcting action, going off and studying and knowing about your body. And then the second part of balance, of course, is emotional, which we have talked about in the past. And then the mental balance is understanding that for the miracles to happen, you can't engage too much logic, otherwise you destroy your belief in the miracle showing up. And between those three items of physical balance, emotional balance, and mental balance, you walk through the physical plane in a measured and powerful way. You don't rush. You don't allow yourself to get out of control. You don't give away your power unless you particularly have to, or unless you make it your decision to do so. And you try to keep as much of your life as immaculate as possible. Then as you begin to create this action plan and you begin to put those miracles up in your mind, you're going to have to remember that there is no time, because we live in a state of eternal now. And in that eternal now, you have to create your affirmation or your visualization or your goal in your feelings. If you can feel it, granted.
if you can feel yourself moving through those circumstances that you desire so much, they will be there. If you think that they're outside of you or that they're attainable at a later date, then you will never pull to you those things that you want. And then as you begin to resonate those feelings and you begin to nurture this little flame of your own intention, then because it is within you and because you believe it, it is granted. But there is a time lag between you conceptualizing the feeling, conceptualizing the goal or the miracle action plan, and when it is delivered. And in that time, you are going to have to be patient. No negative yearning, no frustration, no stomping your foot or whatever. You have to wait. And the more you wait and you know it will be there, that in itself becomes an affirmation where you pull it to you. 10 years in the life of a human being is not a long time. It seems long because we live it minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. But 10 years is not a long time. And so as you put out those ideas, you wait. Any kind of negativity, any emotion, any negative yearning, and you destroy the plan. As you begin to change yourself into this exhilarating, exciting, fluid, adventure-seeking person, I like the use of affirmations. And affirmations are words that you invent or words that you particularly like that mean something special to you, that affirm your individuality, your power, your strength. For example, the first affirmation in the Miracles book that I read out to you was, I am a powerful, positive individual. All events in this day are for my highest good. Let's just look at what you're saying there. You're affirming that the power lies with you and not with somebody else. You're affirming that there's a positivity and goodness and heroicness in that power. And then you're looking at the day and you're saying, whatever happens is a part of my greater evolution. I'm not so intimately involved in the motion of what's going on. I understand that all of it is for my highest good. And as you begin to create that kind of affirmation within yourself, and you repeat them from time to time, what happens is that the contents of your mind changes. Then what it reflects out into life changes, and the quality of your life improves. The last part of this that we need to consider is the concept of creative visualization. Creative visualization really means the ability to use your imagination to stimulate your feelings into believing that a situation is so before it actually materializes in your life. Because, as you've probably heard me say before, the inner mind does not know the difference between fact and fantasy, creative visualization is a powerful tool that you can use for yourself. Some people have difficulty using their imagination. They have difficulty visualizing events or visualizing dream sequences. And that is a habit that you have to form for yourself. Using your imagination, using your ability to fantasize, using your ability to see things in the mind's eye, increases your ability to affect events in the world. Because not only can you develop other possibilities, more limitless possibilities perhaps, but also once you can see yourself walking through a scene, you can be a part of it. Through the laws of attraction, what comes to you reflects that inner energy that you hold, what you maintain, the energy that you've created in your life so far. And so imagine this, if you can create a powerful and strong image of yourself as a miracle maker, as this wonderful, wonderful human being that has so much to give, so much to offer the world, then that being comes alive. It is almost as if by putting that energy into the mind, you shine a light in there that stimulates the mind. And so, whereas often people have moved so far away from fantasy and imagination and so solidly into materialism and logic that they don't have an ability to conceptualize things that are not actually logically right there in front of them. They don't have the ability unless they can literally touch it and taste it and see it. If you can begin to practice this idea of creating your imagination the way that you want to see yourself, then you have within you a wonderful tool that will allow you to become a more powerful being. You can use creative visualization for self-acceptance, and that in itself is a very large project, is it not, for some people. Do you accept yourself the way you are? Do you accept, for example, the shape of your face? Your face is whatever shape you've created it, whatever shape it came out as, so to speak. And you have to see that shape as beautiful. You have to be able to stand in the mirror in the bathroom naked and say with all sincerity, this is utter beauty. And once you can see that beautiful, it becomes more beautiful. Once it becomes more beautiful, to say this is utter beauty becomes simpler. And so, first of all, you can look at the whole concept of self-acceptance. If you will give yourself time to go beyond your limitations, if you will forgive yourself for your transcendences or for those parts of yourself that are less than powerful or less than honorable, then you begin to heal your entire personality. There's nothing worse than meeting a person that has a tremendously fragmented personality, full of guilt trips, full of negativity, full of lack of self-image. What's nice about you is that you have this positive image of yourself. And as you reflect a positive image of your own worth, then other people reflect that back to you. Isn't it true that if a person has that victim energy inside of themselves, if they feel that they're a victim, life seems to fall in on top of them and create victim. And when you meet one of those people, it's almost as if you want to go punch them in the mouth just to keep them happy. And they pull that to them. When you can see this image of yourself in this loving forgiveness, this unconditional love that you have for yourself, then it becomes simple to transfer that to others. When a person is uncomfortable or frustrated or angry, what they're really saying is, I'm angry with myself. When they judge or criticize or moan, they're judging and criticizing themselves. Because when you're centered and balanced and happy, you will see only happiness and beauty around you. And if somebody does something that you don't like and you are balanced, it won't affect you. It's only when you are not in balance and you don't have a strong idea of self-image and self-acceptance that you criticize others and that you express this negativity to the world, and those people that you are negative to will react negatively back to you. And so the creative visualization process is to see yourself as this complete individual. You haven't completed your journey. You're not perfect, and that's perfect that you're not perfect. You can begin to put all that new energy in, and you can begin to look at your life. You avoid those areas that cause you emotional problems. I don't mean avoid in the sense of dodging them, but what I mean is you are careful not to be sucked into situations you know that you don't deal with well. You engineer your life to enhance the strengths, what I call raise statues to your strengths, and then eventually all the weaknesses fall away. The next idea that I'd like to discuss in relation to creative visualization is for you to begin to visualize what is your higher purpose in life. To have a life that's just mundane, working and surviving and procreating and bringing up the kids and doing the washing up or whatever it is not a life of excitement. It doesn't have a higher purpose. And for you to visualize that higher purpose inside your feelings, it begins to give you something to go for. It gives you a higher ideal, a dedication to the force, a dedication to the things that are truly wonderful in life. And so that would be your next step. Once you have a powerful image that you can carry out to the world, that can be some use to the world, then you're looking at developing a dedication, a higher purpose. And if you don't have a higher purpose in your feelings right now, then use creative visualization to see yourself walking in or walking through life with some kind of higher purpose, whatever that purpose may be. There are many possibilities open to you. Perhaps a great diplomat, a peacemaker, perhaps a person of great creativity, perhaps a person who brings to life this incredible ability to nurture and to care for people. Perhaps you're an organizer and that's your gift to the world, that you can organize it. Perhaps you're a leader and you can lead it. Perhaps you're a supporter. And you can attach yourself to a leader and know and understand that the supportive role is as important as the leader's role. Perhaps you're a healer, that you can bring a healing to yourself and to the people around you. But each and all of us has something that we can contribute. Your gift to the world is what you are. And of course, if you're happy with what you are, your gift is a happy gift. Next, you may want to consider using creative visualization for goal setting. And the whole trick to goal setting is to not set goals that are impossible for you. Because if you can't conceptualize it in your feelings or visualize it in your feelings, then that goal will never be reached. And so I like goal setting, which is only a little way in front of where you are now. And so everything is manageable and everything is possible. And it isn't something where you're asking for the absolute impossible, because there are things that are impossible to you right now, given the total quantum of energy that is you. However, as you begin to grow from one goal to the next and you begin to expand your experience and your abilities in the physical plane, then other areas and other goals and other possibilities become real to you. The other thing about goals is, of course, that you have to have the ability to let them go, to release them. You're going to go for the goal. If it changes, change it. You don't have to be dogmatic. Isn't it true that when you see people that set out on some kind of quest in a very dogmatic way, and they live 20 years in the desert looking for some type of little beetle or something, you often wonder, why do they bother? Why didn't they see that after 1 or 2 years in the desert, looking for this beetle was a totally worthless way of spending their life? But what happens is we give the mind a task, and it's almost like it fixes itself upon that task. And I think it's important for you to be fluid and to change the goals whenever you need to. You can use creative visualization to see yourself through projects. If you have a project that you have to deliver at a certain time in a certain place, or you have a creative idea, more than likely you're going to pull to you other people that will help you make that project work. And as you begin to pull other people to you, you have to understand that they will have all their own beliefs and their understandings of what the project is, and somehow you have to transfer to them what it is you want, how the project will be handled, how the thing will materialize. As you do that, you have to have a strong image of what is the project. And creative visualization allows you to run through in your mind, it's a bit like a dress rehearsal, where you run through the project and you see it coming to its final glorious conclusion. As you run through the project in a creative visualization process, you can not only look at any kinks and bumps and things that perhaps you may need to change in order for the project to be successful, but also you begin to infuse the project with light and positivity. It's almost as if the project is an idea in the mind of man. You are pulling to you other people. You have to create the project in their mind, and all of you have to infuse the project in light. When you look at the physical plane, it is all materialization of thought form. If you look at a famous bridge, that's a solid bridge, but it was originally a thought form. And the thought form had to have light, it had to have positivity, it had to have the ability to complete the project, it had to have follow-through, financing, and maybe 1,000 people worked on putting that bridge together. But somebody somewhere was guiding that thing and granting everybody an idea of what the thought form is. Hey, this is the thought form, this amount of scaffolding, this amount of steel, this amount of concrete, this is how we'll hold the bridge up, this is how we'll pay for it. And so when you go through creative visualization, you can infuse into your life this light that will allow these projects to take place. It's particularly important, say, in a business situation or in an office where you have to motivate other people and a whole group of you have to get together to materialize an action plan or a sales force or whatever it is that you're doing. As you begin to see all of those people responding positively to you, you can also begin to use creative visualization to see them understanding what the project is. Often, when a project fails, it fails because of a lack of communication. People cannot read your mind. You will think that they automatically know what you feel and who you are and what you want. They don't. And you can say to somebody, please dig a hole here. And you presume they know what you mean. But inside the mind of the person listening to the instruction, they don't necessarily know. And what they think is a hole here may be a totally different concept of what you think dig a hole here means. And so they dig a little round hole that's a foot deep, and what you really wanted was an oblong trench 30 yards wide. And so if you understand that, using creative visualization and becoming organized in your feelings, you get a very clear concept of what you want. Then you can say to that person, I need a hole here. It needs to be 30 yards long, 3 yards wide, and it's going to go from the lamppost to the tree. And everybody understands what you want. And usually you're going to have to find that you're going to have to tell people 3 times before they really understand something. So later in the conversation you will say, by the way, do you know how long this hole is? They say, yep, 30 yards. Okay, where's it got to be built? And they'll say, well, it's got to go from the tree to the bus stop. You say, nope, it's got to go from the tree to the lamppost. And they say, fine, I've got it. Then you go back and you say, how wide's the hole? And they say, well, you want it as wide as a spade. And you say, nope, I don't want it as wide as a spade. I want it 3 feet wide. And you begin to explain to people what you want. And you can only do that if it's a conceptual idea in your feelings. And that conceptualization in your feelings has clarity. And so as you begin to use this process, process, you can see that what you're really doing is you're becoming organized and you're clearing yourself out as an individual.
This is the end of the side. Please fast forward.